This DYM podcast is brought to you by LeaderTrex. Go to serve, return ready to lead. On a LeaderTrex mission trip, you'll serve and get out of your comfort zone. And through the program, your students will learn how to lead. They will bring that leadership and confidence back to your youth ministry, and it will make a difference for the rest of the year. Learn more and sign up at LeaderTrex.org. And since we love DYM, listeners always get 10% off resources by using the code DYM10 at LeaderTrex.org. That's DYM10 at LeaderTrex.org.
Ready, one, two, three. Hey! Hey, everybody. Welcome to Download Youth Ministry Podcast. This is episode 319. Doug Fields here. It's Mr. Supertone, Jason Carson, the queen of everything with a little bit of a curl in her hair today.
She was nice today.
Katie Edwards and Josh Griffin.
Hey,
and
co-host.
We are live. We are live at DYM 100. Whoa.
Very nice.
Week number one. This is actually in front of a live crowd. We've done like maybe five or seven live crowds. Katie goes quiet.
Yeah, we know Katie, one thing.
Not today.
Not today.
Here's what we know. Matt McGill ramps it up.
Yep.
Matt McGill ramps it up.
Yeah, if Kathy's here or a live show, Matt McGill, he is on fire.
And then Katie tends to go a little quiet. Why is that, Katie? Let's just get you talking right.
Let's get it started Katie. Right now. Let's give her some encouragement. You guys, maybe.
No, I don't know.
Okay, let's everybody knows you're the best one on the show, right? So you need to talk on a live show.
When we film this, it's literally just the four of us in a room. So I just feel like we're hanging out and nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
Just think that naturally. Then we come and we see everybody's faces. It just makes me nervous. I get nervous. That's
there's 100 people listening today at DYM 100.
I know,
Doug, are you
so
eating
great.
Right now?
Yeah.
So if you're listening to the show and you hear these odd chewing sounds,
it's Doug eating a
Doug.
Subway.
Well, it's a little awkward. He doesn't have a napkin, and he's handling the inside of
the
the inside of his sandwich just with his fingers.
I've been talking to people. I haven't had time to eat.
What are you
the food
busy?
Was in here.
No,
let's
you're
go.
Such a good eater.
You guys, it's so fun to be together again. It's been a little bit of time. Normally, we have questions that are sent in to the show, which is at webshow@downloadyouthministry.com.
webshow@downloadyouthministry.com.
Plus, that's also an old bit that I'm getting tired of. But
yeah, let's get a crowd reaction. Yes or no? Thumbs up or by your applause.
We can let it go. We can let it go.
Or it's time to retire it.
Yay!
The people like it.
This is exciting. There's a chance.
Unbelievable.
So here at DYM 100, we are on day three.
Day three.
We have people from all over the country. We even have somebody from Alabama here. And they are great youth workers. Most of them came not knowing anybody. They came alone. A couple people snuck in with a team. I'm not sure how that happened. But
now everybody's best friends.
Well, I don't know about best friends, but I think people are having a good time.
Yeah, we're setting one of the youth workers here. We're setting him up on a date with some people each day, which has been fun. Brandon Hadley actually wrote into the show, right? Isn't that?
No, I've got actually two questions that were sent in from our crew here. It says, is there hope for Brandon Hadley?
Well, that's a bigger question than I think we're equipped to answer.
Yeah, so let's give context to this. We have a single guy who wrote into the web show a long time ago, and he was talking about how do you do ministry in your church when you're single, and I don't know how to find, dates, this
I'm
type
desperate
of thing.
And lonely and kind of awkward. I forget all the details.
I don't know how to ask questions. So
deep enough.
So what happened
I'm
is
kind of homely looking. What do I do?
No, I think he's attractive. No, you think he's cute?
He's an attractive man.
He's adorable.
Number 1 to 10. Objectify him now. Go.
No.
I wouldn't do that either. That was a test. Thank you. I was just,
and I
wanted
passed.
To make sure.
You're welcome.
So he wrote into the show and we said, where are you, Brandon?
Yeah, where is
Did
Brandon
you say
Hadley?
That you wanted to be the single guy that we would set up, or did we ask you to be? I can't remember. You volunteered for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
and
you got in. You got into BYM 100. You've been on three dates right now.
Ashley, Heather, and Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle.
But no Jordan. We had a Jordan lined up, but she's out.
Yeah, she heard how the first date went.
Yeah.
And there is another question. Why don't you read this so it doesn't look like I'm making it up? Read it in the microphone.
Do you think Brandon will go on another date with me, Ashley from DYM?
Oh! Good.
Yeah.
Give the answer quick. Give it quick.
Ashley?
Survey says.
Ashley, there's not a chance in the world you wrote that, is there? Huh?
You're so wonderful. You're welcome.
Yeah, there's no way. It's a good bit. We're with a bunch of youth workers.
Totally.
I mean, if anybody's pulling pranks and doing bits, it's this crowd here. It's really, really good.
But I didn't hear a no.
No, I look.
That's
our
true.
Buddy needs a lot of help. You know, we gave people a tour of the Download Youth Ministry offices, which is also known as FODI's headquarters. We have some very nice offices
gym.
There's a gymnasium, there's a kitchen. FODI, in his personal office, has a toilet seat that goes up when you open the door. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
It washes you and dries you. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I actually think it whispers in your ear as well.
It has a remote control.
Why it washes you. I think there's a little... Anyway. But
and we're back.
So
all
here we
right,
go.
Welcome
what
back.
Say?
To
what
the,
does that say?
Yeah, so there, people were at our offices, and in my office, I have a box... from YM360 that they gave us a Christmas present that I haven't opened up. And the majority of people are saying, open the box.
Oh, no, it's totally sealed.
And somebody
said,
the YM360s are good friends of mine. Have you opened their gift yet? Who wrote this?
Probably John.
He was bragging
about his relationship with YM360 earlier.
Yeah, they're good friends of yours?
Yeah. Well, they are one of our sponsors. We do love YM360.
Actually, we should talk about our sponsors.
YM360
is really one of our favorites. But John, if you know them, you ought to tell them to send. It's just so predictable to send a coffee cup in a little box.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I just felt like it wasn't worthy to be opened.
Yeah.
So tell them. So what?
There's something else in there.
Yeah. What if it's not a coffee cup?
It's a coffee cup.
I mean, this is. Aren't you guys wondering about this? You've heard about it.
Well, everybody's wondering about it.
If it's not a coffee cup, like what does Doug need to do?
Here's what I'll do. I'll open it this Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. I'll open it this Christmas on the show. It's worthy of waiting a year for a very average gift.
We're gonna.
What if we give it away to one of our DYM 100 attendees?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Like
that's a great idea.
That's so fun.
So we're gonna film on Christmas then, Doug?
Christmas season.
Oh,
hey,
Christmas
we
season
also
so
have sponsors, LeaderTrax, who was here today. They provided us a great lunch, and everybody here said what?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, LeaderTrax.
Doug Franklin's a great guy.
They're great.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Great. And then Orange, our primary sponsor, they were here two nights ago. They Reggie gave everybody a book. Then Chef, who is now the new guy that oversees all of Orange students, he didn't really bring a book, but I was able to talk him into
it. That was great.
So he's going to ship a book. So our sponsors really showed up to this DYM 100.
Really showed up. That's right.
Yeah. And we are recording live from Saddleback Church. This is the home of Katie.
Yes.
And...
Yes.
Katie, just her microphone just on the table permanently.
Yeah, Katie, how have you been feeling this has been going?
So far, so good.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're having a great time. We can just keep reading the cards, and it'll be so fun.
Yeah, okay, well, let's just get right to... here's a question. Will you start the DYM Podcast Network? We've already started it, unofficially.
Yeah, we have one flagship show. This one.
No, our buddy Frank Gill, I asked him, he's sitting right there, I asked him if he wanted to come in and take my place.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I was on Frank's show, 15 Minutes with Frank. I was on it 10 days ago. I got to go speak at his church, and we did a podcast.
It's a podcast. It's the DYM Podcast Network.
That's right. And Frank's on it.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Frank.
Way to go, Frank. Let's hear it for Frank.
And apparently there's another podcast by Justin Knowles called The Other Youth Ministry Podcast.
Okay. Do we want to include that one or no?
We haven't really voted.
Yeah. Let's take a vote right now.
Okay. Katie, you start.
Are we voting on, do we like Justin or do we like this
like
podcast?
No, we like Justin. We like Justin.
Right. That's fair.
Let's talk of, is
any, what does you, we mean?
Have you I listened really... to his podcast?
I listened to 3/4 of his first episode. No, six.
Ouch.
Six episode. It was one, he was talking about small groups and I actually listened to it and told him I thought he was making a bad decision with one of his small group decisions, but
oh dear.
He's going to go with it.
Okay.
See, that's
so I really
why,
listened to it.
Josh doesn't like the Bible
right.
included. In
feedback.
Small groups, that's what he disagreed with.
Well, okay, let me tell you what he's going to do. All this is more than you need to know. But he's going to do small groups before his primary program. And I said, I think that's going to kill friendship evangelism. So if you want everyone to bring their friends to youth group, but now they're in small group before youth group, I think friendship evangelism is going to go the wrong way. And he had some, I don't know, I didn't listen to his answer, but it was good.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just, I listen to the show, it's good.
Okay,
it's
so let's start with that. Have you listened to the show?
No. No. Don't you think
Have you listened to the show?
I have not.
Did you almost...
No, sorry, Justin.
Stabbed yourself in the eye with your microphone.
Don't they have to do something to be a part of the network? Like, instead of us just voting them in, don't they have to kind of like prove
I Frank already
awesome?
Has.
Yeah, Frank's proven himself.
No, but I'm
Frank's
talking about Justin.
Justin.
What do you think?
Justin has been a big part of DYM.
He's, no, I mean, he runs the Facebook thing, which he's awesome.
Yeah,
you know, he's
yeah,
so great.
But maybe we should listen to his show a few times.
Yeah,
I'll listen to a whole one.
Yeah, I will.
I'll listen to one.
I will be honest enough to say that I have watched Frank's when he would do, like, his day after their night
the,
of the
what
program.
What we did last night.
What we did last night.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. So absolutely. He'd hold up a camera and he'd just talk about what he did last night in youth group, and I liked that. Plus, I'm attracted to Frank.
Yeah.
So it just gave me another reason to...
His aura and spirit is attractive.
Yeah, that's what
as
I mean. As a
body.
Human. I'm just attracted to him as a human.
Okay. He's got a high woo gift.
Here we go.
All right, so...
Look, questions.
Katie, this is from Will Myham, and I talked to Will earlier today. Where is Will? From Alabama.
Yeah.
Where's Will?
I had lunch with Will at Del Taco.
Will. Hey, Will. Yeah, he said that. He said that. I said, is there any part of DYM that you haven't enjoyed? And he said, well, I got to see. No, he was very complimentary. When you all look at a youth ministry program, what characteristics do you see that determine whether it is healthy or not? Whether it's healthy or not. When you look at a youth ministry program, what characteristics, whether it's healthy or not, like whether they have small groups before.
Yeah, it's unhealthy right there. I am. Now, I look at only one thing. The only thing that matters is attendance. That's it. Attendance is it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, sorry, that was the senior. Jason, that was your answer. You're
actually
the senior
not.
Pastor here. No, I mean, I do think that's fair to at least acknowledge that attendance is oftentimes the measure of health in a youth ministry. I love that them obviously wanting for something more than that. I would say life change would be a really great thing to celebrate. And sometimes you go through seasons where there isn't a lot of life change and there aren't a lot of baptisms or whatever that looks like. But when those are happening, man, celebrate those. That is an indication that God is doing something great. There's a healthy youth ministry there. So that'd be an idea. What do you guys got?
Yeah, I was going to, my good friend Douglas Montgomery Fields gave a talk at Orange Conference a couple years ago, talked about how serving was the new measuring stick in a healthy ministry. And I thought that was fantastic, starting to think about through that, how many kids are involved, how many kids are plugged in. You know, serving is always better than sitting. And so the idea of, what's that?
Doug just dropped his salami.
Wow. Your paper's all... tomato seeds. So yeah, serving is better than sitting, I suppose. Katie?
You make a great napkin, Jason. That's fantastic. Katie, what do you got?
Well, I think, you know, for you to have a really great picture of what you believe health is in your setting, you know, and it might look different in different settings, how that's defined or what that expectation is. So for me, knowing who we are and what we're trying to do when students and leaders are connecting, that feels like we're healthy because that's supporting our purpose and our vision. When students are having fun, when students are inviting friends, you know, when we're winning in some of our major areas that we've kind of set out to win in, then that's when I think we feel the most healthy.
I think an element of health points back to volunteers, what you just spent an hour talking about. is I think when you have volunteers that are engaged, that are not feeling forced, that are not chaperones, that have a passion for the ministry, that are doing above and beyond, they're discipling kids, I think that's a measure of health.
Yeah, even longevity in those volunteers. Now, sometimes that isn't healthy, like they've just hung around and they're just there. But oftentimes, longevity in youth ministry, especially on your volunteer team, could be a sign of health too.
I think health is an interesting thing too, to always talk to the person above you about, like, what do they think health is too, so that you're in communication with your supervisor or whoever you're partnering with, so that you've got the same definition as of health as they do, so that you're working towards the same thing. So I always think that's a great thing with health.
Well, even if you're getting hired at a church, that'd be a great question to go, what am I going to be measured against, and what is success to you, and what does a healthy youth ministry look like? Because if you run into a church where attendance is the only marker, and that isn't your marker, you are going to have a crossroads in the future, and that's trouble ahead. Yeah. So if you come in and you go, I've already said yes to a church, now I have to re-educate them, you can, but that is a very difficult culture to change.
That's good. So Jeremy Clark writes, where's Jeremy? Jeremy, I really want to do ministry at a high level. What are the measurable things we can keep track of weekly, monthly, yearly that would indicate health in ministry?
So just rewind the podcast, and then you'll cover that for you. That'd be great. We just answered it right there.
Well, the reason I put those two together was because I liked that he thought weekly, monthly, yearly. Hmm. And so I thought, there's a little like an addendum, to speak.
All right,
it's like
that.
The last question with a goiter.
Gross. Speaking of goiters, Jason, what do you got?
Wow. I just went to Andy Stanley's Deep and Wide one-day conference right before this. It was on Monday. And so he was
as good as this one.
It wasn't half as good. Yeah. You're a much better speaker than Andy Stanley. I've told you that.
That's not true.
But he talked about, I was thinking about it just now. I forgot one of them. So this is going to be an incomplete answer. But he said there's four measuring things he likes to do. It's serving, giving, grouping, and something else. I'm not sure what it was.
Groping.
Yeah.
Different.
It's
different. Are you going to unpack that at all? We're all waiting for you.
Talk about it a little bit.
Well, I don't know.
distracted by what's happening.
Yeah. How was
have
that?
Have you ever watched a man eat before? You are so mesmerized by... All right, I got Josh.
It's kind of dramatic.
What's he going to do with the bread?
What are the chances? What are the odds that you'll wear this on your head? This on your head for the rest of the podcast?
The odds are 1 in 8. Let's make it interesting.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go.
3, 2, 1, 4.
Two. Dang.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
I'm not sure what just happened.
Oh, you never played odds before?
Yeah.
It's sweeping the nation like 2 years ago.
So what would happen? What would happen if you guys said the same number?
If he said the same number, then I would have to wear the bread as a hat for the rest of the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to try it? Do you want to play?
No, I'm good.
All right, let's try, just for fun. You have to eat both of the Subway sandwich loaves there.
Okay.
And what are the number? What are the odds?
What are the odds? You choose a beginning like 1 in 4.
You're gonna eat all those carbs. What are the odds?
1 in 5.
1 in 5. Okay. So if we say the same number, so it would go like this:
yes.
1, 2, 3. Number. Okay. You gotta say it right on time.
All
right. Ready? It's between 1 and 4.
Go.
Oh, 1 in 5. Thank you. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Number.
One. Oh.
I did exactly what you said.
Oh, senior pastor.
Yeah, I was going to say senior pastor humor for sure.
That's fine.
All right, do it. Do it real quick so we can
That's
move
fine.
On. Let's go.
All right.
Go.
What?
Do it again.
What?
He didn't play right. Just pick a number and...
Oh, for real?
Yeah, you're going to be fine.
Three,
go.
So wait, should I do the same number you just said? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
3, 2, 1, 4.
Oh, yes. You got to eat it. Yes. Yes. Oh.
Hey. How do you eat Subway bread? One bite at a time.
The worst thing about this is the worst thing, Doug just manhandled this the entire time.
Yes.
He's picking at it. He's wiping his fingers on it between every bite.
All you have
is inhumane.
No, it's not. I wipe my fingers on your shirt. Man. You're fine.
Salami juice on wheat. It's good. You're great.
Yeah, totally. You have until the end of the podcast to eat it.
Ready? Go.
Yeah.
But stay engaged. Stay engaged. You can do both.
I'm out.
You
can now you do lost both. Me.
Well, that's no, you lost. This is from Scott Stentz. Where's Scott?
Scott, right
Scott,
there.
Scott, all right, Scott. What is the most effective, quote-unquote, system of follow-up that you have implemented?
Sorry, I was just. I need Jason to eat some bread. That's all there is to it.
You're being rude to our guest.
Play
Josh.
The game.
Focus yeah, you got to finish that whole.
Yeah, this is.
I really
is,
don't want to.
I know, but you shouldn't have played the game then.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Okay. Technically, though, I hate to be this stickler here.
Oh my
You're
goodness.
Gluten-free.
Listen, this is the senior pastor thing that could ever happen.
You paused.
You arguing.
I said four before you said the full word four. I'm just saying.
Let's sit a judgment on that.
If there's you guys a lot think, of nodding heads right now. It's weird.
No, listen. Whether it's intentional or not, it's a fact.
So
I said,
stressed.
I started saying four before you came in.
Whoa.
I
don't.
I'm not going to accuse you.
I feel like I'm with my
I'm
kids
just saying,
right now. Okay, you guys, go to your rooms. All right, here we go. All right.
Is that is like the that now is officially 319 shows. That's the whiniest thing that has ever been said in 10 years of this podcast.
Yeah. Follow up, right?
Yeah. What's the most effective system
You're
of follow up?
The whiniest thing ever. I
can lead us in with that one. It was a system where we just had a couple student leaders who would take the response cards, you know, like, if you're new here, fill out a card, and everyone fills out a card, whatever. And student leaders would write a handwritten card to those people, and we'd mail it out on that Sunday. So we'd drop it off somewhere in the post office, and they'd get a card on Monday or Tuesday. Quick, simple follow-up from a visitor. I think that was really fun. Obviously, we want more than that, but I also like the anonymity of the weekend a little bit, or of youth group, where someone can come in. It's safe. It's somewhat anonymous. It's okay. Investigate who Jesus is. Like, I love, like, people are like, I have a thumb swipe thing and we're a big church, you know, and it sends them a text when they're not here and all that. I'm like, good for you. That's cool. I would say, let a kid just show up at youth group.
What?
Let a kid show up at youth group and investigate who it is. And then when they're ready to be known and loved and cared for, then follow-up becomes really, really important.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
You had my full attention.
Thank
I was
you.
Totally, I was
Thank
locked
you.
Into you.
I appreciate that.
See, this just reinforces my point about if you don't normally pay attention to the podcast, This is the worst thing we've ever sat through.
Yeah,
people appreciate the podcast. This is enjoyable.
I'd rather listen to Justin's podcast than this podcast right now.
Yeah, we're not even sure this will make the air.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're not going to be on
goes the bar.
No.
Our own network. We're going to get kicked off right now. Shoot.
Sure.
Here's the deal with follow up. I think whatever plan you implement is you're going to need to change the plan in 6 months. I just think follow-up is one of those things that seems like it's always needs to be retweaked. It needs to be re-energized. You know, if you have a smaller youth ministry, you can do the follow-up just based out of your own roster or mailing list or something like that. You look on Sunday, okay, I didn't see these three people there. You know, text them throughout the week, hope you're doing well, pray for you, whatever. As you grow, you have to scale a follow-up system. And so, you know, the thumbprint thing, that is a symptom of a large ministry while you might mock it in your mocky way, I at least say to that person, that way to go. I mean, way to think about, like,
right.
I mean, ultimately, the shepherd wants to keep track of his sheep, much like this sheep needs to eat all the bread off the floor.
Okay. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Good job, Jay.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job, Pastor Jay.
Unreal.
I would just say with follow-up, ask the question, why are we doing follow-up in particular areas? I know that we understand the importance of follow-up, but if you don't know, like, I'm creating this follow-up system to collect data because I want to learn this, or I'm following up because I want to make sure that kids who miss, you know, we know that they missed. So I think that's always an important thing about follow-up, and what the trap that I've fallen into quite a bit is we start a new system and we start maintaining it, but then I'm like, what are we doing with this data? Or why are we doing this? Or what, you know? So there's times where I've started follow-up systems and they haven't been effective because I really didn't know why I was doing the follow-up. So in different areas, we do different kinds of follow-up. Small groups, our small group leaders handle the follow-up. And we're you know, they have a couple of things that they do to follow up each week with kids. Or, you know, in, you know, after summer camp, I do follow up with parents, you know, and it's a specific kind of follow up that we're doing. So it might not just be one follow up system across the board. It might be a few different types of follow up that you commit to. And I think that's helping us be a little bit more effective, knowing why we're doing it and doing it differently in some different areas. So
that's good. You remember before we were in this building in the high school ministry, we used to sit around round tables. And at the round table, we kind of stumbled into this idea of like the first Sunday of September, let's say, people would fill out a new information card. And then the next week, their name was on this list, small font, you know, three columns. And what we found would be interesting, kids actually were bummed when they didn't see their name on that list. Now, how come my name's not on this list? Oh, well, we started over on September 1st and you weren't here. Well, I'll be on it next week. And then, you know, kids would come and they'd find their name and they'd circle it. And it became such a simple way to kind of track, you know, who was coming, who, as we grew and began to scale, it's difficult to do follow-up, as I mentioned earlier. But I found that to be an interesting thing, that sometimes we think, do kids want to be known going there? And they really wanted their names on there. And then some kids who were kind of, you know, like punky would, you know, find somebody's name and write Jason Carson, you know, is a dweeb next to it. And fantastic. So we were like, oh, okay, maybe we need to rethink that a little bit.
Let me throw out one other thought, too. You don't have to be the one to do the follow-up.
Yeah.
Like, how cool would it be if you said to your, you know, upperclassmen, hey, anyone who visits from Tribuco Hills High School, they're going to be, we're counting on you to follow up with them on Monday. So they came on Sunday to youth group or whatever. We want you, before the next youth group, to just make a connection with them. Hey, I saw you were at youth group. How fun is that? Did you have a good time? Any questions? Just make a follow-up connection organically and in the school that might be really effective, even over a text or a postcard or whatever. So yeah. Just an idea.
Good, good. This is to Katie. And this is from Tim. Tim, I always do, is it Wildsmith, Wildesmith? What is it? I know.
It's Wildsmith.
That's what you say it. So it's like, it is a great name. So somewhere in your ancestry was just Smith. And then there was somebody labeled them. Well, there's the Wildsmith.
Talk cool about story. A senior
and
pastor
it
joke.
Stuck. No, yeah. I got to believe that's a true story.
A party. He's a party up there. Look at all that excitement. Yeah. No, that was awesome. This place is lit right now.
Yeah, I know. You still have your bowling thing on? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, nothing says party like a bowling brace.
You got carpal tunnel? Carpal tunnel?
Oh, gosh.
Golf injury.
You know,
Tim is a Down Youth Ministry author.
Yep.
And I thought maybe it was carpal tunnel from all the games he's been making. He's been killing it.
Tim cranks.
Yeah, he's top author.
He's great.
His picture's got kind of a goofy hat on, but other than that, he's a good dude. A fedora.
Putting cool and fedora in the same sentence.
It's sweeping the nation 2 years ago.
Katie, it's just for you, so you're only answering it.
Ooh, I like it.
What are your, and then you can just keep eating your bread off the floor. What are your pro tips for getting seventh graders plugged in quickly so they can feel comfortable in the student ministry?
Well, yeah, because are you just junior high, seventh and eighth grade? So, oh, you're middle school? Oh, okay, 7th through 12th, yeah. I mean, that's a big transition, jumping either from 5th to 6th grade into the student ministry or from 6th to 7th grade into the student ministry. We do kind of a series of events to kind of get parents and students excited about our student ministry. I feel like when you're transitioning students into the student ministry, into middle school, you're definitely transitioning both kid and parent. So two different strategies to kind of bring them both into the middle school world. With students, we do a kind of where we run a we run a night where it's called the JHM First Look, and so we do just introduce them to JHM and bring just the new sixth graders that are going to be seventh graders in, and we, you know, introduce them to students who are already in our ministry. We do fun. We kind of tell them about what JHM is going to be, and then at the same time, I run a parent meeting at the same time and do developmental training with parents, and here's what you can expect from our ministry and some of those things. So the First Look is like our first thing in March. And then we do this thing called the Sixer for all the sixth graders who are coming in April. And it's just a fun night here at the Refinery so they can get comfortable here. There's no other students here. So it's just the new students that are coming in, which is really fun. And then we do a thing called Parent Preview Weekend where we combine them and we invite parents and students to our normal services. And we do a big barbecue afterwards for everyone, just inviting them to participate in the service together and just get them excited for what's going to come. And it's really fun. It really is cool to have parents and students in our service. And we just do a normal service. Nothing changes. And then they transition the next month. So we kind of do, like, leading up to their transition, some fun, some information, help parents and kids get acclimated before they jump. So it's cool.
And I was going to say, my daughter, she just became a junior higher last year, went through all this, Katie, and she, like, it was like the most exciting thing that's ever happened to her life. She was so excited. So, like she couldn't wait to come back. This stuff works. Like, Katie's not just saying good ideas. It was like, oh my gosh, she is hooked for life. The parents are included. Everybody's on board. Clear communication, bravo.
And we give all the new students a t-shirt, which is an expensive thing for me, which it's something that haven't done forever, but a few years ago started giving them a JHM shirt when they came in. They all get this new shirt. I know that doesn't sound like life-changing or anything, but it's expensive, so it's a commitment, right? But students love that. They just immediately feel part of the family and like they're wearing gear, and so that also just makes them feel so at home, right? Away. So just some of those little things, and on their first weekend they get a t-shirt, so it's cool.
That's cool. You know, one of the things that Josh and I have talked a lot about is swag, you know, in ministries, and Josh and I have actually had little debates about it. How many of you, by show of hands, you have like ministry swag in your ministry? Okay, let's go the other way. You don't?
All right, it's about
50-50.
Yeah, just interesting. Curious. Yeah,
maybe that's why we debate.
Wait, can I tell you one story?
Yeah.
I was kind of either way, and again, it's kind of an expensive thing to create gear for students, so I get that. But over the past couple of years, we have four students that I know who their story started with seeing a friend at school who was wearing their JHM t-shirt. And, you know, there's things where we do Instagram campaigns of students taking their picture together in their JHM shirts. And so the latest one is Lexi. I asked her, you know, how I baptized her, and I said, hey, tell me your story. And she goes, well, went to RSM and my friend had a JHM shirt and I asked her what that was. And she said it was her church. And did I want to come? And I came. And then you guys gave me a JHM shirt when I came. And then I just kept coming. And then a couple months ago, I accepted Christ when you did this message. And now she was getting baptized. So I, like, four students I know of. And so for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I will do t-shirts until I die because
supported my opinion.
Yeah. T-shirts lead people to Jesus as well.
No, I'm just saying swag is brand building.
I like free t-shirts more than anybody, so don't even.
It's like the family feel of something like that. I mean, truly, like, oh, yes, you know, this is fun. You're part of us. You belong here. I don't know.
It is fun when you
thank
see.
Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You win. It is fun when you see, like, your gear that is on a student, you're trolling through Instagram, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's our shirt, or that's our shirt. It's really, really fun.
And I think you have to be really intentional with your gear. Like, truly, the look and what you put on there is really, really important.
Yeah,
so
true.
That's good.
All right, you win, Doug. Good.
Thank you. we all love, there's no name here, we all love to make fun of homeschool, comma. But for those of us who have a spouse that homeschools our kids, what are some ways we can get away slash switch off and have good quality time, i.e. Monday night? Total inside joke there. That's basically, if you don't know the con, only the people here know, Josh and Angela have sex one time a week. On Monday.
Hey, but we have
missionary.
Wow.
I can't, everything that I want to say, I'm just going to hold back.
Yeah.
That's good. Just hold back. We have sex once.
I'm done. I can't say anything. That's it. So anyhow, what's homeschool dad?
What are some ways we can get away, switch off, and have good quality time?
Date night. Go on a date night. Get away for the weekend.
We're on Monday.
Yeah.
Katie, what are you laughing at?
You don't want to
touch this one?
No, it's great. Yeah. You should get quality time with your spouse. I support that.
Yeah, but last night you talked a little bit. Just repeat for quickly how you and Ron get quality time.
Yeah. And
I don't know why this is funny.
How? I can't say anything. I'm done.
Okay. I think just plan a date night. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's what Josh said.
Sometimes, okay, gosh.
You talked about having quality time, like you guys have quickie everything car rides.
Everything is a date.
Why?
Everything is a date. Actually, sometimes we have our people come and pick up our kids and take our kids out, and we stay home. Like, we do a date night in-house, which is great.
That's great.
We do that twice a week, so.
Nicely played. Nicely played.
Oh.
All right. That's good. I'm just wondering if Brandon Hadley's taking notes from our... How do you have a youth service that meets the needs of both saved and unsaved students, as well as how do you promote it? Speaking of Brandon Hadley.
Oh, nice question. That's a very deep question, Brandon. Good job.
Wait,
good
can
job.
You read it one more time?
Deep.
Were you kind of replaying the mic drop killer moment
no,
of
I'm
twice a week?
I'm trying not to make eye contact with anyone right now.
How do you have a youth service that meets the needs of both saved and unsaved students? As well, how do you promote it?
Yeah, it's good. I would say you got to be careful with music. I think music and worship is interesting to non-believing students, to evangelistic-based programs. But I think if you do 30 songs a night, that is a potential ministry that's geared towards believers and not non-believers. I think an element of fun is essential. And I think you give fun as a universal language, whether you're a believer or a non-believer. I think that's big. I think the application to a message, there should be a very clear application of an interpretation of Scripture, but the application to a believer who this is a step for them to take versus someone who is not yet a follower of Jesus. And this isn't just moral good things to do. This is because of our heart that has been transformed by Jesus. And if your heart has not been transformed, if you're living for the world, not for Jesus, tonight can be the night where you accept. So I think a clear application for everyone in the room would be helpful and wise. I don't think you have to be shallow, so I want to be very careful with that. I don't think you have to create a shallow program because there are non-believing students there. I also think sometimes we really force that we have to be this deep, incredible, and Fields a long time ago wrote in Purpose of Youth Ministry, an understandable message is the key. And I have really hung on to that, going understandable doesn't mean shallow. It means really, really clear. And so I think a really clear message with actionable items for everyone in the audience, that is inviting. That's inviting to me.
Love that.
I visited a youth group this past week that the room got really dark when they did music. And it was just right at the beginning of the program. So if you're coming in late, you're walking into a pitch black room. And people are engaged in the worship is certainly a testimony to non-believers and all that. But if you're kind of like sneaking into the room at the last minute, just hoping to kind of cut into the youth group, you don't know where you're going. You're bumping into chairs. It was an awkward moment for a newbie. And I happen to be a newbie in the crowd this weekend. So if I was giving some feedback to that ministry, I would say, man, put some lights somewhere or a volunteer stationed at the entrance going, hey, we're in the middle of a song. It's a little dark. Let me help you find a seat. Something simple. So that they're not, you know, climbing over a couple people to get in the front row is the only seat that's left and it's pitch black. I think have some eyes when you walk in and go, what is a first-time non-believing student feeling when they walk in? Mm-hmm. Anyhow, there's a whole shotgun of stuff right there.
Yeah, it's a lot of good stuff. I say anytime you put a message together, you have to know your audience. And I think you can speak to people of faith and people that don't have a faith. I think you just have to acknowledge their resistance. So whatever your message is, you can say, no, I realize not everyone here believes this. There are many of you in here that don't have a faith, or you're forced to come, or you're dating someone and they're pressuring you to be here, whatever. Just acknowledge that they're there is a meaningful thing to your audience, because then your audience says, oh, okay, he understands that I'm here, or he understands my resistance, which helps your ethos in communication.
I think being thoughtful about what you're doing when you're doing it. I mean, I love both my students who love Jesus, and I'm also love the students in my room who don't, you know? So my heart is the same for both. I want both crowds to take a next step towards Jesus, a deeper step in their love for him. So my heart and my thoughtfulness before planning a service or any kind of gathering for students or leaders is really just thinking of that. I want them to leave here hopefully knowing a little bit more and maybe even loving Jesus a little bit more than when they came in. And fun is a great tool. Music and all sorts of things are a great tool. And I think just having a great balance and a great rhythm of elements hit all those audiences, you know? But I think if your heart bleeds for both, you'll be thoughtful for both. And you know, you taught us a long time ago when we're teaching to, in the application, always acknowledge, hey, you might be here, and that's okay. Like, if you don't know Jesus and you're in this room and you have questions, it's okay to wrestle and ask us those questions, and this is a safe place to do that. Or, man, if you love Jesus so much, this might be something for you to think about in this. So I love that in the teaching part or in an announcement. Like, if you're announcing camp, hey, if we're announcing camp and it sounds attractive to you, but it's our first time at the church, come ask us questions. Come talk to us about this. So even in all the little elements, just making it okay to ask questions, to doubt, to wrestle, no matter where you are at in your relationship with Jesus. I like that.
Yeah. I always had my leaders with the youth ministry always just like if they spotted anyone new, someone that wasn't a part of the normal group or anything, just to make such a big deal of them, just to love on them, to make sure we connected them to a few people and really just brought them in to make sure we got their name. We would do, this was a while ago, we would do announcements and we would have like, it was a smaller youth group. So we'd like say, you know, the question like, hey, is anybody here new tonight? And we'd give them like a big prize and we'd like make it, everybody would clap for them. And so the kid would say, you know, yeah, my name's Mark. And everybody would chant, Mark, 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 Mark. You know, the kid felt like $1 million and it was cool. So I really feel like making the kid feel like $1 million, celebrating him, her, having just being so excited about this person came to the youth group tonight. But then to match the both non-believer and the believer, and to just never underestimate what God is doing and what God's called you to do, knowing your calling of how God's called you to lead the youth ministry, I think is huge. And I mean, the music thing, like that was a great example. I mean, a lot of us would probably think logically, you know, music, yeah, might be tough if we do a lot of deep worship for a non-believer with the music in that sense. For me personally, that's like the night I surrendered everything to Christ was in the middle of a worship song, not even in the middle of a message. So it works different with different people. Always being open to, I say, you know, what the Spirit's doing and trying to follow that as best we can.
Yeah, and in this moment, I'm even thinking, what I love about this is that we could do youth ministry totally different ways.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that it's based on, like, I would probably never, ever in my whole leadership do the Mark thing that, like, Mark. I don't want to bring a lot of attention to a visitor that way. Yeah. But the fact that you did and you found great success in that is just, you know, indicative of God's spirit and the diversity in the body of Christ. And that part of it is, like, for me, if I was that Mark kid, I'd be like, oh, I'm never coming back here. And for you and your leadership and your style, that works for you. And I love that, especially for everybody else, that, you know, the goal is not to copy somebody else's ministry and what they do. The goal is before God to say, here's who I am. Here's the gifting that I have, the ideas that I have, and go, you know, go for it and not feel like you have to. I was just, as you were talking that, I thought, I would never do that. Right. But it's one of the reasons I love the fact that we can do things different.
And I don't even know if that would be as effective today.
Yeah.
I mean, that might have been easier 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
I was just at a youth group that called, there's four new kids in the crowd. They called them up on stage and they introduced them. They cheered for them. They gave them a T-shirt. Back to the swag, and it worked. And yeah. I was going, this isn't going to work. Why are they calling the new kids up there? I can't believe they're doing this. This feels like a wrong. Okay. Oh, it's cool. It's part of the culture. Everybody's in. All right. I believe. And that was last weekend. So,
wow. Interesting.
Yeah. So great. It was counterintuitive and it totally worked.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. We are pushing our time limit on this, not for our live crowd, but for our show length. This is from Joel Friend, who's the official friend of the podcast.
Oh, Joel's here somewhere.
Yeah.
He's a great friend.
He's a friend of God.
Where's Joel?
Where's friend? Where's our friend?
Where's Joel?
I am a friend. Where?
Oh, hi, Joel.
Keep it down, Joel.
The lights are pretty bright. You probably used to that, weren't you? Supertones?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I haven't had my books on an end cap lately. I'm in a bookstore the other day.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
I'm in a bookstore the other day, and there's Doug Fields with his three featured books on the end of end cap. I was impressed. I was proud to know you.
What was the? Did you just have a reunion tour this summer?
I wouldn't know.
You didn't. You didn't. Supertone Strike Back.
No.
Volume 2?
No. No.
I'm trying.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reunion tour. Supertones.
Anyway, Doug. Who? Honestly, I was impressed, man. It's awesome.
Well, I didn't put him there.
I know you didn't.
Yeah, so. Hey, Jason. If it's any consolation. I talked to somebody at breakfast this morning, and I was like, you know Jason Carson from the Supertones? And he's like, I listened to that when I was in junior high.
Yes.
I'm like, that's pretty cool, man. And then the other guy was like, yeah, my dad listened to them. So that was,
Josh, I've never heard that joke from you.
Have I already told you that?
Sorry, man. Like every podcast. What practical tips would you give to core students to equip them to bring friends to the regular large group program time?
Bribes, money, candy.
Swag.
Swag.
Those were all good. What are you talking about? I'm in. I like that.
I think you have to, I would say just quickly, I think you have to create a safe place that, I think we ask kids to do things that leaders don't do. So I think we say things like, hey, next week, bring your, what?
Friends.
Yeah. Some of you were tempted to say Bible. But you say, bring your friends. And sometimes I wonder, when was the last time that leader ever went to a risky place in their neighborhood, part of a group or something like that, and invited that person to a faith community? It's so easy for us to say it to our kids, but it's a really risky thing to do. I mean, the junior higher that was wearing the T-shirt and said, would you like to come? That's, bold and courageous, and we celebrate that. And you actually tell that as a story, right? Because what you want to see repeated, you reward and you celebrate. But I think it's pretty scary. And so instead of expecting all of them to do, you've got to create a safe place and let them know, hey, next week is be a great opportunity to bring your friends. When I say bring your friends, I just want to let you know that, we're not going to do anything weird, whatever. I mean, it's going to be safe. We're looking forward to it. But then you have to kind of prove that week after week or month after month, whenever that entry-level program is.
Same way. You show safety over time. They trust you that it's going to be safe next week. We've all sat in a church service and brought a friend or had invited someone, and then the service is not for them. And you're like, we are talking about tithing. The one time my neighbor is here.
Yeah.
Or, they're single, and we're starting a marriage series. And you're like, this is bah. So I totally get it. But I think we also have to limit the amount of times we say things like bring your friends. Because if you say bring your friends every single week, that message is going to lose its power, or they will grow numb to it. It will be noise. So I think say bring your friends a select number of times to a select number of things, a series, a particular event, and teach and model friendship evangelism. Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah, we had two nights a year in our youth ministry, two nights a year. We called them reach nights, and we just went as big as we possibly could on those two nights. And all of our students knew it. Every one of them. We would have one in the spring, one in the fall. They were reach nights, and it was this big event. They knew if they brought their friends, we would let them have probably one of the most fun, best nights of their life. And we, at the very end, less than a minute of just saying, hey, we're here for you. We love you. This is a place where a bunch of sinners come, a bunch of people that don't have it all figured out. And we just like learn about the God who loved us and created us. And that's about it. That's about it. So it's a super fun night, prizes. We had car rallies. We had scavenger hunt car rally photo things, like Where's Waldo nights at the Spectrum, all kinds of stuff, and just made it super fun. And those nights we doubled our attendance every time. And we told everybody, this night isn't for you. It's for your friends. And so bring friends or don't come. No, we didn't say that. Wanted to.
I think with your core kids, helping them, like if they're going to ask you the question, why should I bring a friend? Helping a core student, especially, you know, maybe the students that really do have a heart to reach their friends, why they should bring a friend, to understand who, you know, what church is and what it's all about, helping them understand the gospel. When kids are excited about the gospel, you know, they want to share it when they understand it, when they can articulate those things. And so I think even with our core students, helping them understand, here's why I would love for you to bring a friend, or why I want you to give an invitation, or here is something that can happen through that. So answering some of the why questions from them, I think for them takes a little bit of the fear out of it. I think it's always scary. I mean, I think you're right about that. It's always scary to take a risk to invite someone. And so, you know, for us, our terminology is always, you can bring friends. Your friends are always welcome here. And we will do everything we can to set you up to win in that invitation, in that ask. But I also want you to understand, why are you inviting a friend? What is so amazing and special about Jesus and the church that you want to invite your friends into that? So even just casting just cool vision of, as they live out the gospel, how cool it is to invite people into that. It's awesome. So I think with core kids especially, you can do those things. Get a little bit more drilled down.
That's good. And Katie, in this live audience, you did so good.
That was terrific.
So Katie, that was awesome.
Best live show ever.
Yeah.
Best live show.
Yeah.
You win.
Katie. Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
Nicely done. I'm not going to ask by show of hands, those of you that aren't not regular podcast people, whether we convince you to be a podcast person, because I don't want to be depressed.
No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But
not good.
So give yourselves a hand for being a part of a historic live audience show.
That was fun.
Yes, and so for those of you that are listening or watching, send your questions to webshow@downloadyouthministry.com.
That's
webshow@downloadyouthministry.com.
Last time. That was good.
Oh, I forgot to open this.
What is it?
To the DYM team. This was in a very, like a cigar box.
Wow.
And it says, you guys are awesome and deserve to have your own gold bars laying around. And these are...
What?
Oh, yeah.
These are gold bars. It says, Fine Gold DYM. Right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We can juggle our own gold bars.
That's amazing.
Does anyone here know how to juggle?
I do.
You do?
Sure.
You do not.
Do you really?
All right. Can you juggle four gold bars?
Three, maybe.
Well, no, four if you're... Okay.
I can't do four.
Right. Maybe over there. Maybe over there.
That's amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Fields juggling gold bars. Incredible. Well, hey, as we wrap up our time together, we have a special movie promotion. We want to show you an exclusive clip of an upcoming movie. They're part of the sponsorship of Download Youth Ministry. Jeremy Carlson is here to actually introduce the clip to you and tell you about the film and give you a special invitation. So, Jeremy, come on down. Tell us a little bit about the movie.
Hey, let's make a... Here's what's a big...
The bread hat.
I didn't do that. He did that.
You don't want a bread hat? I don't want to do that.
Here's the deal. How cool it is that they couldn't even send us the movie clip. They had to deliver the movie.
This
Josh,
is the
you
best
should
part.
Talk about that.
You had to bring it in your pocket on the airplane here from Nashville because they will not trust sending it over the internet or screening it anywhere. You had it with you.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to show you about 8.5 minutes of the movie in a row. So they would let you see like a 2-minute clip or something like that. They would let me send that. But cool. I flew from Nashville, Tennessee to spend 12 minutes with you guys this afternoon, and then I get to do it again on Tuesday.
I love it. Dude, so, thank you for doing that. It's a big deal. You're paying for some of the meals. You're hanging out with us, and there's a special invitation as soon as this clip is done. You talk about it a little more. Do you want to set up the clip or the movie a little bit more?
Yeah, so the movie is called I Can Only Imagine. How many of you guys just started singing that song in your head?
I can only imagine.
Yeah, we're going to do karaoke later.
Yeah, please. That'd be great.
So it is, I Can Only Imagine, the song was written by Mercy Me. It is the single best-selling Christian single of all time. Perfect for funerals, weddings, anything you could think of. So this movie is the story behind the writing of that song. So it's Bart Millard, who's the lead singer of Mercy Me, and it's his relationship with his father and kind of the whole backstory of how the band became who they are. And that's what the movie's about. So it's going to be out in March of next year, the middle of March. It'll be in about 1,500 theaters nationwide. And we're going to let you guys see about 10 minutes of the movie, and then I'll get up at the end and talk about it for another minute.
Patch cables, and you know, I can run the board and turn the lights on. And I write songs too, kind of sometimes.
Who are you?
Joined up with a band. I mean, all we had was the clothes on our backs. Took every gig we could, and anywhere they'd let us play. We were all technically homeless, I guess.
Tell you a story before we go. Because when I was 10, 11 years old, life was tough. It was really tough, actually. I needed something. And I remember I've always loved music, you know? And I found some songs that I held on to. You know what I mean? Like an anchor in a storm. And they got me through. And they told me about a father in heaven that wanted me. You know, a father that loves me so much that he died for me. A father that would never leave me. And I listened to these songs over and over and over and over again. And they gave me hope because I needed it. Maybe tonight, so do you. Sing this with me.
Your face is all I see. where are you headed, man? We got
someone I
got
to see, man.
Ooh.
Scott Brickle. Manages Audio Adrenaline, a bunch of others.
Yeah, why was he here?
Because I wrote him a letter every week for the past 2 years. Gotta go. Mr. Brickle.
It's just Brickle.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know you were coming. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I did. Merry Christmas.
You know, we mostly just play big shows, you know, but sometimes we like to give back to, you know, smaller venues like this one.
Yeah, look, Barth.
It's Bart.
Sorry. And what's the name of your band again?
It's Mercy Me, you know, because when I told my mama that we were starting a band, she was like, Mercy Me, you get a real job. And I was like, oh, Mima. And then the guys were like, did she really say that? And I was like, yeah, we have to name the band Mercy, because that's what we called it.
Son, the sheer volume of words that comes out of your mouth is exhausting. You're not ready. That's what I think. You got talent. You got potential. You can sing. But I don't think you found your song, found your soul. You know what I'm saying? Look, that last thing you did, that was special. Next gig, you should do that the whole time, the entire show. See how that works for you.
That's not the kind of music that we sing, though.
Trust me, son, you have no idea what kind of music you sing.
We write our own music. We don't just do covers.
Well, then write something like that, and then give me a call.
No, wait. You got to go with us. We got two more shows in Texas. We got plenty of room on the bus, all right? You know, you can't just change up our whole act and then abandon us, right? You don't seem like that kind of person, I can tell.
I flew coach in a middle seat to rent a car that I can't even fit in, to drive 3 hours to the middle of nowhere, to have you tell me you want me to travel on that with you. That's funny. Well, I need to get another job.
So the movie is based on the real life story of Mercy Me and how the band became. And I've spent a bunch of time this summer traveling around this country screening the movie. And I was a youth pastor before I started working on films. And in the past 5 years, I've worked on 14 different movies, from God's Not Dead to Woodlawn to War Room to When the Game Stands Tall to pretty much any of the movies that you guys have seen come to theaters. And I have never seen the response to any movie like I've seen to this movie. I've been doing late night screenings at denominational meetings and stuff like that, and I'll have a line of 50 people at midnight wanting to talk to me about how this story has touched them. It's a somewhat difficult story because there's things that people are going to see in the movie that they're going to be able to relate to their own life. They're going to see things about trials that they've dealt with. They're going to see things about their relationships with people, specifically their father, that are going to stir things up inside them that are going to be good to deal with. When this movie comes out, we're going to have Bible study resources for students, for leaders, the guys at YM360. They're the ones that are actually doing the student Bible study that goes along with this. There's going to be sermon series for pastors to be able to use in their churches. We believe in working, and me specifically, I believe in working on well-made Christian films that can start a conversation. When you go to the movies, it doesn't end there. We believe that discipleship doesn't happen in a movie theater, and it doesn't happen in an hour and 44 minutes. That follows up with you guys, and that follows up with pastors across this country, that when you have a movie specifically like this one, it's going to open up a conversation that then you guys get to follow up with students. So what we want to do is Josh and them are going to, we're doing starting screenings for this movie the 2nd of October in 100 different cities around the country. So they're going to send an email out to you guys next week, to everybody that attends both the DYM 100 events, and invite you guys to those screenings. So these aren't for you to be like, hey, we're taking the youth group on Tuesday night, because they won't let
not.
You.
Yeah.
They'll turn you away at the door. These are for pastors, leaders, ministry leaders in your area. So like, you can pass it on to your senior pastor, or if you're in a youth ministry network in your city, you can pass it on to those guys so that they can see the movie as well. Because we know that you're not going to want to do something around a movie that you haven't seen first. So we want to let you guys see the movie. We've got some of these flyers on the table in the back. It's just basic information. This isn't even finished artwork. Like, the version of the movie that we saw isn't even 100% finished, the version Josh saw.
Yeah, I got to see the entire film about 3 weeks ago, and it was a rough cut, and it's really great. The lead actor does have kind of that Kevin James kind of feel to him. It's a great story.
Yeah, and the lead
fantastic
actor...
Fantastic ending.
This is his
good.
First movie, the guy that plays Bart. This is his first movie. He's a Broadway actor. And so he actually got cast in the movie from playing Jean Valjean on Les Mis on Broadway.
That's awesome.
So the guy can actually sing a little bit.
He can sing. It's a great, great story. It's kind of funny. I mean, we've all sung that song our whole lives, and there's a great message behind it. And it's a powerful moment. Even sitting, finishing the film, I was like, that is fantastic. So DYM100 is excited to get behind this as well. Wanted to show you a little clip of it and invite you as a DYM100 attendee to go see the movie in an area that's close to you. So grab a flyer on the way out. Jeremy will be available if you want to talk about it, what that looks like. We'd be thrilled to do that. Can we thank Jeremy for being here? A round of applause.
Thank you,
grab
guys.
Grab one of those.